This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. President Trump issued executive orders to approve both the Keystone XL and Dakota Access oil pipelines. The Dakota Access pipeline has oil in it up to the lake that they have to cross under to complete it in North Dakota. They are ready to bore under the river when the final word from the Corps of Engineers comes through. The Secretary of the Army ordered the Corps to rescind the restraining order to let them finish the pipeline. The protesters are reportedly cleaning up their campsite so they aren't the ones polluting the river. Other protesters that had moved on to private land were evicted. This was one of President Obama's poorest moments, why Democrats are considered to be anti-business. Stopping the Dakota pipeline from finishing was an abuse of power to no good purpose. The Indians had had their chance to speak up, with two court rulings that they passed on their time to weigh in the process and can't stop infrastructure projects that have been approved. That should be noted for future infrastructure programs that are being explored. The Keystone XL pipeline is a different story. It was the right thing to do for President Trump to tell them it would be received favorably, but they have a decision to make again. Crude oil is too cheap for tar sands development, so the Canadian pipeline may not be that feasible given current prices. Canada has approved other pipelines going west, so may not be as supportive of the Keystone XL at this point. U.S. crude oil inventories, gasoline stocks, and distillates all surged in the weekly stocks report. Weekly ethanol production rose, and so have ethanol stocks, so production exceeds current consumption. Tightening margins should begin to slow the ethanol crush. On the grains, some weather models are now showing a bias again for El Nino for our growing season. That would suggest above trend line yields for one more year. The forecast for La Nina fizzled, and I'm not convinced that a strong El Nino will redevelop either. The 90-day SOI is 0.41, which is about as end zone neutral as you can get. Weather in South America looks favorable as they hit the gut slot of the growing season. Their February is our August. The climate has been consistently warming with new annual heat records being set. NASA and NOAA have excellent temperature measurement now given the satellite coverage. Scientists ask the question, how much El Nino has impacted global warming? And NOAA thinks the answer is about 10%, with the rest coming from greenhouse gases. I would have reversed the question, asking how much global warming impacts El Nino. It would seem easier to warm oceans with record warm air temperatures. A farmer blogged that given 3 years of record warm temperatures, how did corn yields set records? The answer is because the heat is concentrated on the two coasts rather than the heartland where the corn belt is located. Continually warming temperatures will eventually negatively impact yields south to north. Minnesota is the most sustainable corn-growing state in climate models. You're listening to the Comstock Report. On the cattle, what feedlots need most is to stay current on marketings. The next concern will be over the slug of feeders put on feed for the next round. There's typically a hole of some degree between yearlings and calves, but that is the last hurrah before the seasonal decline in the cash market. Packer margins have deflated, so they'll have a reduced interest in killing cattle. The beef market has been underperforming, so reduced kill would support the product market. There are more feeder cattle, and the inventory report showed expansion still adding to the herd. Ranchers were making $500 a head, while feedlots were losing $300 a head at the peak of this cycle, when feeders and beef priced themselves out of the market. That extreme is now coming back in, and the relationship between fed cattle and feeder cattle prices should now favor feedlots, so feeding cattle can be profitable again. Feedlots need to make money for a while before pushing numbers on feed to take advantage of the buildup in feeder cattle available to them. Cattle should be traded at prices this year that allow retailers to give consumers a better deal on beef. The adjustment will be hard on ranchers because of the massive swing in values from one extreme as they now head for the other. The drought in the southeast U.S. has had no impact in the overall growth of the beef herd. If President Trump is going to go with bilateral trade agreements, he has an opportunity to open the U.K. market to U.S. meat to help make up for trade loss from TPP. The two would by no means be equal, but he needs to set the precedent for opening U.S. markets to ag products. The U.K. should open its market and drop the pretense over hormone-fed beef. We need an open market for U.S. beef, not a stupid quota for hormone-free beef. We will never have more leverage with the U.K. than now, and if they open their market, it will put pressure on the European Union to do the same. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us at Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.